All right, good to be back with you this evening. If we could get that screen loaded there, that would be great. So looking forward tonight to sharing with you about what we've been up to and about the country of Cameroon and the great need that is there. So before we get into this, why don't we pray, ask the Lord to bless our time tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for the work that you are doing in this world. Lord, thank you that you are still seeking to save, that you are still seeking to redeem, that you are still seeking to give eternal life to those who will turn to your Son for salvation. And Lord, thank you for the part that you are giving us in the work that you are doing in Cameroon. Lord, thank you for the privilege that is. Lord, that is not a privilege that we deserve, but it is something you have given us. And Lord, I pray that during this hour that we have together, that you would stir hearts for what you are doing in that land, and not just in that land, but all over the world. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So, we are headed to Cameroon. Usually at this time I introduce ourselves, but I think you've met us already. So I won't do that. If you could go to the next slide there. We are headed for the white harvest fields of Cameroon, West Africa. And the Lord Jesus said once, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." And I do believe that that verse could be used to describe Cameroon. There is a great openness among the people of Cameroon at this time. I'll say more about that. I don't know why that is completely, but I just know that it is. And so that's a wonderful thing that needs to be taken advantage of. If you could go to the next slide, please. A little bit about where we've come from. Anna is a missionary kid. She grew up in Cameroon. Her parents are Tom and Barb Needham. They've been missionaries in Cameroon for over 30 years now. And we're thankful for the health that the Lord continues to give them. They're still over there as we speak, endeavoring to serve the Lord in various ways. My father-in-law has done missionary aviation for years. And the Lord's blessed them with 3 airplanes now. They fly to different parts of the country. They've done different things with that, helped people get the medical help that they need. But primarily, that ministry has been vested in flying out people to go proclaim the gospel to other people. And so Brother Tom Needham is still very heavily involved in that. How old is your dad now? So he's 70-something and he still flies airplanes. I just hope that if the Lord lets me live to be 70, that I'm not healthy. But if you go to the next slide, so Anna got saved out there. She developed a burden for missions out there, a burden to go to where the gospel has not been preached. And so we met at Bible College. If you could go to the next slide, we went to Baptist College of Ministry. They're in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. That's where we met. We got married after we finished our different programs out there. We got married in 2022. Well, let me back up. I grew up in Indiana, grew up in a Christian home. A lot of you know my brother Ben. Yes, I'll claim him. And some of you probably know my dad. My parents have been out here before, I believe. But grew up in a great Christian home, so thankful for my parents, the influence that they were in my life. I got saved at a young age, received the Lord at a young age. Growing up, you would have looked at me probably as a good kid. But on the inside, I had my struggles. I had some struggles that were not plain to the eye that I kept hidden. And when I was about 17 years old, the Lord brought a trial into my family's life that he used to wake me up to the fact that, look, the way you're living just doesn't work. And shortly after that time, the Lord began a reviving work in my life. He began to show me truths from the scriptures like we find in Romans chapter 6, which is where the Apostle Paul teaches us that because of what Christ has done for you in your salvation, you don't have to be the slave of sin anymore. It doesn't mean you can't sin as a believer. It means you don't have to live as the slave of sin because of the grace that's available to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And up until that time in my life, I had just never understood that. I don't know if I had just never heard it preached or if I just had never had ears to hear, but the Lord began to awaken me to truths like that, to the rich salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And I found freedom in that. I found liberty in that, victory over old habits that I had had for years. And along with that, as the Lord was doing that work in my life, He gave me an opportunity to go to Kenya, which is in East Africa, on a missions trip. I went there for a month with a couple other young men. We lived with some missionaries there. And one week in particular, we devoted a lot of time to witnessing to folks on the street. And as I think about that time, that was like God dumping gasoline on the fire, so to speak, of what He was doing in my heart. And ever since that time, that is what I have wanted to do with my life, is missions in Africa. And I truly believe that desire came from God, because that was not a desire that up until that point in my life I had had. So I'm so thankful for the Lord's work in my life in that regard. We got married in 2022 after Bible college, and then we went down to Bowie, Texas. There's a little missionary training school down there called Baptist Bible Translators Institute. And I appreciate that program. They do a good job of teaching you how to learn a language. All right, a very basic missionary skill. And they don't teach you a specific language, but they teach you how to learn one. Especially if you were to go into a situation and there was nobody to teach you. And yes, there are still situations like that. I think of Africa. Africa is very much linguistically diverse. So many different hundreds of languages that are spoken there. And really, when you go through the program down there, by the time they're done, you have the training you need to go into a situation like that and at least survive. But thankful for what we learned there. It definitely helped us even with French. If you go to the next slide, please. So in 2024, we launched out on our first missionary adventure together. We went to the country of Burkina Faso. And if you were here 3 years ago when we came through, you might remember us talking about that. But we did go there. I spent the good part of 2024 there in that country. If you can see a white dot in the middle of that map, that's the capital city of Ouagadougou. And I've heard that that name has become famous, at least in the Madrid home. But that's where we lived. And if you go to the next slide, please. We were working with the Keith Shoemaker family. I appreciate Brother Keith. I appreciate him letting us come and work alongside of them. We learned some very valuable lessons working with them that will impact our ministry for years to come. So thankful for the Lord opening that door for us. I really appreciate Brother Keith. I see him as a man of faith, a man of courage. Burkina Faso is not the easiest country to be in right now, but he has remained faithful in spite of all the challenges, and God continues to use him. So I look up to him in that way. A lot of what we were doing, besides working with the shoemakers while we were there, was we got started learning French. If you are going to be laboring in West Africa, French is an important language to learn. It just opens the door to a lot of places in West Africa, because they use it as their language of education or their language of government, that kind of thing. So we got started with that, got a good start. You know, if you're going to learn a language, you have to have a good sense of humor, right? You have to really be willing to laugh at yourself, because we will make mistakes. Outside of our house there in Burkina, I had this metal trash can. All right, and in that part of the world, you need to be careful with that kind of thing, because there are folks that will come along in the middle of the night, and if that kind of thing is sitting around, they will snatch it up and go sell it for scrap metal. So I had our trash can out there anchored into the sidewalk with concrete. But sure enough, one morning, there was evidence that somebody had come along and they had begun to work that thing out of there. And I was not smart. I should have just gone out that morning, bought another bag of concrete, reset it, but I didn't. And so eventually they got it. Lesson learned the hard way. But I was standing there that morning looking at it, and there was this African brother standing next to me. So I decided to point that out to him, and I opened my mouth and I said in French, "Somebody tried to kill my trash can." And that just happens sometimes. You mean to say one thing, but your brain scrambles it and just the wrong word comes out. I mean, the word for kill and the word for steal in French really aren't anything like each other. It just came out that way. One time we were walking through a village there in Burkina Faso. They had lots of guinea fowls. If you go out to the villages, you'd see a lot of guinea fowls running around. And I took a liking to those. I think those are good eating. But anyway, we were walking through the village there. Hannah saw this guinea fowl, and she decided to try out her French. So she opened her mouth, and she said in French with all confidence, "Look, a watermelon." But anyway, that kind of thing just happens to you. Some missionaries have stories that are far worse than that. Thankful for the progress we made. We made some good progress. We're not quite there yet. By the time we got home from Cameroon in 2025, I could say that I was functional in French. I could give the gospel to someone, prepare a message, preach a message, survive a conversation. But we do have a little ways to go still, so we will continue our French training. That will be one of our primary goals when we get back to Cameroon, refresh that, progress in that. I trust you're familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In French, that is Jean 3:16, car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son Fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle. And I'm sure you caught all of that. And I quoted the verse in English first because we would not want to be guilty this evening of unbiblically speaking in tongues. But anyway, thankful for the start we got there. If you could go to the next slide, please. About 9 months into our time there in Burkina, we were really praying about it, seeking the Lord, and we sensed that that was not the place God had for us long term. He definitely had his reasons for taking us for that year. Like I said, we learned some valuable lessons during our time there that no doubt will impact our ministry for years to come. But we did sense that was not the place he would have us to labor long term at this time. One thing was we felt that if we were going to stay in the country, we would want to branch out, begin a new work. And just with Islamic terrorism plaguing much of the country, that seemed to be a closed door at this time. So still believing that the Lord wanted us in Africa, we decided by faith to go to Cameroon, which seemed to be the next open door the Lord was putting before us. We went there at the beginning of 2025. We were there for about 6 months. And the Lord opened just many doors of opportunity to survey the country, to engage in different kinds of ministry. So it was a blessed time. I'm thankful we had those 6 months there. But little information about Cameroon here. Cameroon is home to about 30 million people. It is not an insignificant piece of real estate. It's slightly larger than the state of California. It's a very diverse country. The people are diverse. I've read that there's around 280 different languages spoken in Cameroon. I think in Burkina Faso, if I remember right, the number was around 70, but in Cameroon it's around 280. And I don't know how they're counting that number. I don't know how much, you know, different dialects of different languages are taken into account there, but that's at least a testimony to the great tribal diversity that exists in Cameroon to this day. There are many, many different tribes that call Cameroon home. And Cameroon has been called Africa in miniature, and what they mean by that is one part of Cameroon looks very different from another. If you think about Africa as a whole, there's different parts of Africa that are desert. There's different parts of Africa that are jungle. There's different parts of Africa that are forested, different parts that are mountainous, and Cameroon just has all of that. Like I said, you go to different parts of the country and one part might look very different from the other, both in its terrain and its climate. It's a beautiful country in that regard, in regards to its diversity. Something my father-in-law has said about Cameroon is that the doors for the gospel are so wide open that the hinges have blown off. And I can testify that that is true. And what he means by that is usually it's not difficult in Cameroon. Different parts might be harder than others, but generally speaking, it's not difficult to find somebody that would be willing to listen to you explain to them the gospel. And it's an exciting thing. Generally speaking, people are open to discussing religious things, and that goes for people that have a so-called Christian background to Muslims. There are many Muslims in Cameroon right now that would be willing to have a religious conversation with you. It doesn't mean it's easy for everyone to get saved. Many people, maybe they come out of a Muslim background, maybe they come out of an idolatrous, animistic, traditional African religions kind of background. It's not always easy for them to get saved. If they get saved, many times people from either background will experience persecution to one degree or another from their families, from where they've come from. But all the same, in spite of that battle that is there, there is a tremendous, tremendous open door for the declaration of the gospel at this time. And we're so thankful for that. If you go to the next slide, just another map of Cameroon. Some people say that Cameroon looks like a chicken. All right, so if you're ever wondering, trying to remember where Cameroon is, all right, Africa's kind of like an arm with a shoulder coming off of it, right? If you can kind of picture that. All right, Cameroon is right in the armpit. So find the armpit of Africa, find the country that looks like a chicken, and there you have Cameroon. Now you will never forget where Cameroon is. Go to the next slide, please. All right, another map there. If you go to the next slide. So while we were there in Cameroon back in 2025, we had a significant opportunity to go visit different parts of the country. And Brother Needham's airplane made a lot of that possible. We did take a couple of road trips. There are a few missionaries in Cameroon at this time, and we're thankful for them, how the Lord is using them. Obviously, Anna's parents are still there. Some of Anna's sisters are there ministering in different ways. A couple other missionary families over there, I'll mention them. The Sam Sanderlin family, they're in the town of Bafoussam in the west region of Cameroon, which is where a lot of the missionary work in Cameroon at this time is concentrated. Brother Sanderlin flies airplanes. Let's see, there's the Glenn Swanson family. Glenn Swanson married my wife's sister, so he and I are outlaws, I guess you could, if that's a technical term for that. But they're in a town called Chong, which is 45 minutes from Bafoussam, trying to plant a church there. We were able to fill the pulpit for them for a few weeks while they were in the States, while we were over there. That was a great opportunity. And then the Seth Folkers family, they are in the capital city of Yaoundé. And Brother Folkers has done a tremendous job training national men for the ministry. So thankful for the men that have come out of his training. There are some very solid, at this time, there are some very solid national Cameroonian pastors, evangelists that just have a tremendous heart for their own people. And it's exciting to see how the Lord is using them, how he's prepared them, and the different ministries they're involved in. All that to say is, if you could go to Cameroon, get on the plane to go to Cameroon tonight, get there tomorrow, it would take you about 20 hours to get there, and visit some of these places, hear the stories of how God has worked in these different lives, your heart would be stirred. You would be encouraged by the work that God has begun over there. But Cameroon is a big place, and there are still many, many cities, towns, and villages that need somebody to go and proclaim the gospel. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to highlight a few of these places, but please, 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 as I do this, keep in mind this is just a glimpse, all right, into the vast open door that is there in Cameroon. Cameroon could use many more laborers to further spread the gospel. So in this picture you're looking at here, we are on a hill overlooking a city in north-central Cameroon called Adamawa. Oh, the region is Adamawa. The city is called Ngaoundaré. I'm going to throw a lot of names at you tonight. There will be a quiz after the service. All right, so I trust you're paying attention, taking good notes, and it'll be good. But North Central Cameroon and Northern Cameroon is predominantly Muslim. Not entirely Muslim, but a lot of the folks there are Muslim. And in this big sprawling city you see behind us, I know of no independent, fundamental gospel laborers in this city. Trying to reach people for the Lord and establish churches. Anna's parents may go up there on a part-time basis beginning this year, but other than that, I don't know of anyone. And in this city and in much of that Adamawa region, the Lord's beginning a really encouraging work in the southern part of that region. There's a rural area that Brother Needham has been flying into, and there are some people have been getting saved. There's at least one church getting started down there, and we got to go there for a week and minister there. That's an encouraging thing. The Lord is starting there. But the Adamawa region is a big place, many people in need of the gospel, and I don't know if there's anyone here tonight that you're interested in ministry to Muslim people. And I know Cameroon probably isn't the first country that comes to mind when we think about the Muslim world, but there is a tremendous open door into the Muslim world in Cameroon at this time. So if that's a burden the Lord is putting on your heart, you might pray about coming out to Cameroon and seeing some of these places that I am mentioning. There's a, like I said, there's just a tremendous open door there. If you go to the next slide. Like I said, Brother Needham's airplane made a lot of our surveying possible. We did take some road trips. Like I said, if I remember right, this road is marked on the map as a national highway. there are good paved roads in Cameroon, but there are a lot of roads like this. And sometimes you'll be going down a road like this, and in the rainy season, maybe a truck has tried to come through, and it's gotten royally stuck. And they'll pull the truck out of there, but they won't fill the hole back in. I need to get a good picture of that, but sometimes you do encounter that. If you can go to the next slide. I think I said at some point today, you'll never forget the traffic in Africa. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Not all roads will take you where you want to go. Thankfully, there was a ferry here. If you go to the next slide. So now we're going north of kind of that north-central mountainous region, and you go north of this region, you fly over it, and the terrain just kind of drops off, and that you get to a part of Cameroon that terrain-wise is more similar to Burkina Faso. It's dry, it's hot, it's more desert-like. If you go to the next slide, again, most of the folks in this area, they are Muslims, and this is some aerial shots of the capital city of that region called Garowa, yeah. Garowa is the capital city of the north region of Cameroon. And if you go to the next slide, it's just a massive, sprawling city of thousands and thousands of people. And again, I don't know of any independent, fundamental laborers trying to do a work for the Lord in this city. Something encouraging, though, while we were in the airport there in Garowa, we talked to a guy. And he told us that there was a high-profile imam, a Muslim preacher, in that city that had come to Christ. And I don't know how he got the gospel. I don't know who was there, who was working with him. But the Lord is at work in this city. So here's an opportunity, again, if you're interested in ministry to Muslims, to come alongside of a work that God is already doing. But very needy place, many, many people. Living in this city. You'll notice that this picture is very much greener. That's because we've moved from the northern part of Cameroon to the eastern part. The eastern part of Cameroon is very remote. A lot of it is unsettled. It's less populated than maybe some other regions of Cameroon. But still, there's people there. And this picture is an aerial shot of the capital city of that region. It's called Bertoua. And people are moving to Bertoua. Bertoua, if I remember correctly, is kind of a center of commerce for that region of Cameroon and the countries that border it. And as I understand it, people are moving there. It's one of the more rapidly growing cities in Cameroon at this time. And very sadly, I do not know, again, of any independent fundamental missionaries laboring for the Lord in this city or in the entire East region. And that goes for Cameroonian pastors as well, with maybe one exception. I did hear the other day about a guy who was, at least at one time he was there, I don't know if he's there anymore, but a very needy region of Cameroon. Somebody at some point needs to go there. A lot of the East region looks like that. Like I said, very remote. I'm told in the southern part of that region, I haven't been down there yet. I'd love to go one of these days, but there's a population of pygmies. So I could go visit those people, minister to those people, and for once in my life, I would be tall. But anyway, that's not the only reason to go down there. This is an aerial shot. It's not the best picture, but in central Cameroon, there's a large man-made reservoir that they use to power one of the major cities in the country. And it's just a massive, this picture doesn't do it justice. I need to get a better picture. But it's just a massive sprawling lake with arms going everywhere. And it's just got probably hundreds of miles of shoreline. And my father-in-law likens it to Lake of the Ozarks, if that puts it in perspective. But hundreds of miles of shoreline, and all around this lake, there's just little villages, or like you see in this picture, I believe, just a little compound like where a fisherman and his family live. But just another place in Cameroon where somebody could go, could learn the language, and many, many people in that area need the gospel. If you go to the next slide, please. You would find the people of Cameroon, and in my experience in sub-Saharan Africa in general, to be very friendly, to be very hospitable. There's different aspects about their culture that I believe you would enjoy, that you would appreciate. But Cameroon is also a land of spiritual darkness. And I want to talk a little bit about that now. In this picture, you are looking at a shrine. This is in Chang, where we were filling in for my brother-in-law there. This is a picture of a shrine from that town, and the locals there still worship their ancestors. Now, to you and me, worshiping dead people probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But did you know there's people alive and well tonight to whom that makes perfect sense? And some of them, very, very unfortunately, are quite content with it. But what do they need? They need someone to go and to teach them. You don't have to be afraid of someone who's dead. You can put your trust in someone who won the victory over death, and that can give you the victory over death, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so traditional African religions, especially in certain areas, are still very much alive and well in Cameroon. If you can go to the next slide. This is a smaller shrine that you might find outside of someone's house. If you go to the next slide. Another very real spiritual stronghold in Cameroon is what I would call Christianity so-called. You know, many people, they name the name of Christ, but at the end of the day, they're trying to get to God, get to heaven, through another mediator than the one God provided, Jesus Christ our Lord. So Catholicism is big in Cameroon, but not just Catholicism. There's other forms of Christianity, so-called. But at the end of the day, somebody that believes that, that is trying to get to God through religious ceremonies, good works, they need the gospel just as much as their neighbor that's sacrificing to their ancestors. And sometimes what happens in Africa is people will try to hold on to both beliefs. They might go to church on Sunday, but a problem comes up in their life, and they choose to run to the witch doctor to try to find a solution. So synchronization of beliefs is definitely a problem that you encounter in people's lives. If you go to the next slide, we mentioned Muslims. That's mostly in north central Cameroon, northern Cameroon. This is the palace of a Muslim chief there in that town of Ngaoundre. If you go to the next slide. So what is God's solution to all this spiritual darkness? Well, if we believe the Bible, It is the work that God has accomplished through his Son. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he lived that perfect life that you and I could never live. And because of that, he could take our place as a substitute before God. And when he died on the cross, the Bible says he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore the wrath of God for every last man, woman, and child on this earth. And he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And because of that, he is able to give everlasting life to everyone who believes on him. But what is his plan to get that news to the far corners of the globe? You know, God could have given that task to angels. God could have decided to thunder forth that message of salvation from heaven. But for some reason, and it's hard for us to understand sometimes, but in his perfect wisdom and sovereignty, God committed that mission to you and I. People who have personally been redeemed by that salvation that is in Christ. People who can stand up and testify and say, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ saves because he saved me. And what a wonderful privilege and yet a sobering responsibility that is. If you go to the next slide. So that is the burden on our hearts to go back to Cameroon to be used of the Lord to continue to spread the gospel to those parts that need it. And at this point, we're still sorting through where exactly the Lord would have us settle long term. As you've seen, there's a number of things we could do. We just want to be wise and seek the Lord's leadership for definitely the next steps, but we are definitely going back, so please pray for us as we sort through that. If you could go to the next slide. Church planning will definitely be a focus of what we're doing. This is the church that Brother Swanson's planning there in Chong, where we filled in at. If you could go to the next slide. Sometimes our services look like this. Missions is not always easy. But the Lord is able to work even in hard places. Amen. If you could go to the next slide there. This was the crowd we had for Easter at that church plant there. If you could go to the next slide. Like I said, we'll continue language learning. We'll definitely continue to work on French. And once we determine where we'll be settling on a more long-term basis, we'll at least consider taking a crack at learning the major African dialect of that area. Anna's dad has done that, and I have just seen the tremendous benefit of that in his ministry. Here he is, he's witnessing to a Fulani Muslim man in his mother tongue. He can speak the full day language of the Fulani Muslim people. And it's just amazing. I've been with him to different parts of the country, and just everywhere he goes, he has open doors to minister to these people, whether sitting down and giving the gospel to them or giving them gospel literature, or sometimes he likes to give them these little SD cards that they can plug in their phone, and there's gospel resources, music, things like that in their language that they can listen to right on their phone. And it's just amazing to watch. Their hearts are wide open to him, because he speaks their language. Language is just, it's such a powerful tool that the Lord has given us. So we will continue our language learning there. I'm looking forward to ministering more in the villages again. That's usually a more primitive setting. There can be some physical hardships that come along with that. You can put some interesting things in your stomach sometimes, for example. But I love ministering in the villages because many times it's amazing. That's where you find open people. Not every village, but there's many villages in Cameroon where you can go and, for example, after the work of the day is done, many people will be willing to gather and just spend an extended amount of time studying the scriptures together. It's really a phenomenal thing. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that. You can see that in this picture. There's some men there gathered around studying the Bible. You can go ahead and go to that next slide. Training leaders is such an important part of what missionaries do. And the Lord gave us an opportunity to do that. I had the privilege of teaching these two young men's, the subject, hermeneutics, which is a big, scary word for how to study the Bible, how to interpret the Bible. But Lord willing, we'll be doing more of that. If you go to the next slide. We're thankful for our children. Our children, we trust, will be a part of our ministry for years to come. They are not, we definitely want to include them, to plug them in. They're good at making friends, opening doors. So we got started on our residence permits while we were over there. They changed the rules on us since we've been back, and so we have a little more work to do, but thankful for the good start we've got there. So please pray for us as we endeavor to launch out into the white harvest fields of Cameroon, West Africa. All right. I was told you might have some questions. So maybe we could take some questions at this time. Yes. Well, as far as I know, the reason they do it, they've been doing that for hundreds of years. That has been a very real stronghold in Africa for a long time. And one of the reasons I think they fear it sometimes is it is demonic. Africans are usually very spiritually minded people. I don't meet a lot of atheists in Africa. And I think part of that is they are plugged in to the demonic realm in a way that our culture is not. And they will tell you some stories as fact about experiences they've had. Like around funerals, that kind of things, that'll just about make your hair stand on end and think, boy, I hope I never run into that. But it's very, the dark spiritual realm is very real to them. It's not just a traditional thing, a fake thing. They recognize there is power there. And so they fear it. Some people to different degrees, but they recognize that that's a real thing. I haven't studied it a lot in depth. I don't particularly care to get my hands too dirty in that. For example, I was in this one village once, and the chief had died. And there was this one ceremony they did where there was this guy going around to different houses shouting something and ringing these large bells. And if I remember right, supposedly what he was doing was chasing the spirit of that chief away. So based on that, I would say haunting, that kind of thing, probably has something to do with it. Now, if that's actually happening, I would say that's demonic. That's not actually the spirit of that dead man. I don't believe the scriptures teach us that actually happens. But nevertheless, there may be something very real there that they're afraid of. They've just got the wrong label on it. So, a lot of people still do subsistence farming. They grow their own food. They might grow some extra to sell in the market. There is some logging that goes on in Cameroon. Certain parts of Cameroon have lots of trees, so there's logging that goes on. Cameroon has gold. The Chinese are there mining gold. And I believe I've heard it. I'd have to double check to make sure this is accurate, but I believe I've heard they have oil. So there's some industries there. Did I see a hand? Yes, Brother Greenewalt. I had an interesting conversation with some guys once, and I challenged them with the thought, do you really think that a dead person can save you from death? And they weren't these particular guys weren't really all that interested in listening to me, and they kind of emphatically said yes. And I don't know that they actually believed that. In the traditional African religions, I don't know that they have a concept of heaven and hell like we would. So, not sure of everything that goes on there. But I would believe that in general, yes, they are scared of death because they don't have a legitimate answer to it. I would think. Yes, so to make a long story short, a lot of Cameroon uses French as the language of government or the language of education, but the colonial history in Cameroon is kind of complicated. At one point, the British were also in there, and so there's two regions, and actually this is where my wife grew up, so that's why she's needing to learn French, but there's two smaller regions in Cameroon that use English as that language of education, that language of government. And in 2018, there's basically a civil war that started in those regions. Now that has not come out of those regions for the most part. It stayed in those two particular provinces there. But they basically wanted to secede from Cameroon, start their own country. They wanted to call it Ambazonia. And that has basically degenerated into the rebels have basically, as far as I understand it, become basically professional criminals where it's sad they're hurting the people they were supposed to be fighting for. They will kidnap people, hold them for ransom, that kind of thing. So unfortunately, there's not a lot of mission work going on in those two particular regions at this time. There are, though, some national pastors that are remaining faithful, and that the Lord continues to use in those places. Those are some real men of courage, and I appreciate what they're doing there. All right. Any other questions? You know, in Burkina Faso, I think it was in Burkina Faso, yes, they had this idiom. They would say, now they would say this in French, but they would say, my stomach is speaking English. And that means I'm hungry. So I don't know if your stomach is speaking English yet, but if you have a few more questions, we can take them. Yes, sir.
I noticed in your prayer card you said something about being practically or ministering in a practical way.
Yes. Right. So the focus of our ministry is church planting, it is evangelism, but I enjoy being a practical blessing to others. One way that you can do that is sometimes people will come to you and they will have legitimate needs like medical expenses. Now you do have to be discerning because there are people that will try to take advantage of you, but if you do it right, that can be a tremendous open door into the lives of others. I'm thinking of, for example, there was one family that we learned about from a national pastor that I know that I trust that has a tremendous heart for the Lord and to help people. And this one family had a son, a little baby boy, and if I remember right, he was malnourished. He had, I believe it was typhoid and malaria at the same time. And so he was in pretty rough shape, but the Lord touched our hearts with that, and we helped with his medical expenses. We paid his medical expenses. And sometime later, I heard from my national pastor friend there, and that did open the door for him to declare the gospel to that family, that the wife was already saved, but the dad was a pagan. He was an idol worshiper. And according to this national pastor friend, that opened the door to share the gospel, and the dad didn't get saved. And I'm taking his word for that. I've actually never met that family. But there can be some tremendous opportunities in that way. Anna has a sister. This is kind of along those lines. Her name is Elizabeth, and she has a real heart for deaf people. And this is more along the lines of education, but she has started a deaf school in her house. And it's amazing how many students does she have now? Do you remember? She has seven students now, but the Lord just keeps bringing them to her. And a tremendous opportunity there to make a practical blessing in the lives of those kids, kids that otherwise might not really have much of an opportunity to learn, much less hear the gospel. So there are opportunities like that. As we get into it and the Lord shows us some things, you know, I'd be open to doing some more practical things. Like I said, I enjoy doing that. I'm kind of a practical guy, kind of a hands-on guy. But that will all happen in the context of, you know, church planting evangelism, which is the main focus. So good question. Thank you. All right. Yes, sir. So we are roughly 40% of our target. So we got back from Cameroon. We did some deputation in 2023. We got back from Cameroon late July of 2025. We got back into deputation in September. No, I'm trying to think here. Generally speaking, compared to the States, it's cheaper. There are some things that are more expensive. Like if I remember right, I think gasoline to put in your car is more expensive. Rent can be, it's almost ridiculous how cheap rent can be. It varies depending on where you go in the country, that kind of thing. I would say in general, our expenses were less in Cameroon than Burkina Faso, but a big part of that was in Burkina Faso we used a lot more power to cool down our house, and that was expensive. It was more expensive anyway, so that was definitely a factor there. The currency in Cameroon is the Central African franc, and actually it's not just Cameroon that uses that, but most of the countries surrounding Cameroon use that currency. Roughly speaking, it's on an average, it's worth about 600 francs to the dollar. All right. Well, if there are no other questions, I will assume that all of your stomachs are speaking English and that it is time to be done. So why don't we pray? And then would you like me to dismiss, or would you like to come? And okay, Pastor Madrid will come. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you so much again for the work that you are doing in Cameroon. Thank you for the part that you are giving us there. Thank you that we can trust you to lead us as we go. And thank you for your mercy and your grace. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.